website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion each and every day. That makes the program. Our format is designed around you, our listener. We set the stage, we ask the question, we make the case, and ask you to join in the dialogue, the discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about today the truth about Islamic jihadists. The truth about Islamic jihadists. Are we dealing with in the Middle East? Are we dealing with a military force? Are we dealing with a nation state called Hamas? Are we dealing with Islamic jihadist fighters? What are they? Who are they? We'll be discussing some of that in part today. We have a very special guest that we'll introduce in a moment. And after we have introduced our guest, our lines will be open, inviting you to join in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call will go directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. As we face the issues, let me remind you, as we do each and every day on this broadcast, we face the issues based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So it's not something that we look at as being truthful today and not truthful tomorrow. Andy Stanley, by the way, in North Point Community Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, just stepped over the line, and he is denying the truth of the Word of God. He says the Old Testament needs to be jettisoned. He says the Ten Commandments are not relevant, and he has just stepped over the line by embracing the Sodomite lifestyle in a major conference in his church, embracing and allowing the Sodomite speakers. So we're not talking about that kind of bifurcation of truth. We're talking about truth as you find it in the Word of God. And God's Word warns us, God's Word tells us, God's Word says to us in Zechariah the 12th chapter, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'm going to paraphrase, that there's coming a day, and I believe we're at that day, when the whole world will be at the throat of the nation of Israel. And there will be an attempt to eviscerate, to annihilate, to destroy the nation of Israel. But the Bible is very, very clear in that third verse. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. So my warning is to Joe Biden and every other national leader, be very, very careful of coming against the nation of Israel. Be very, very careful trying to destroy the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. God has chosen them as his people, and he will stand. Listen, I've said for many, many, many years since Israel became a nation, April the 15th, 1948, I've said since then, Israel has one of the meanest, if you please, military forces, and it's not because of the numbers, not because of the genius, it's because God stands with the nation of Israel. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, let me remind you, it's based on truth. It was George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984 that made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see a disdain for truth today. there's a bifurcation of truth. In fact, according to the recent survey, 55% of the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, make this statement. Let me quote. Each person determines his or her own version of truth. Each person determines his or her own version of truth. That's very, very dangerous. I think that we need to understand there's one truth. There's no bifurcation of truth. You can't take a half-truth and make it truth. A half-truth is a full lie. And we have multitudes of people today in D.C. and the Beltway in Washington that somehow, some way believe that we, the people, are the ignorant ones and that they have all of the answers. Let me just, while it crosses my mind, touch on it briefly for a moment. We elect people, send them to D.C. They're supposed to represent we, the people. Once they start drinking the Kool-Aid, they start being the Kool-Aid servers then. And as a result of that, we, the people, are left out. I find it disconcerting that we have so many people in Washington that do not recognize, do not understand even how what they need to do to go about electing or appointing or finding a Speaker of the House. It's in a quagmire as a result of that. We'll touch on that in part of the broadcast today. But I always refer us back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And that's exactly what I commend us for each and every day. That's what we need to do. Stand on the truth. You won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth being broadcast on CBS, ABC, NBC, or any of the other Marxist networks. Ladies and gentlemen, truth, full truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth is found in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a good benchmark. 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the staff of with the family of God as God's word ordained to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the truth about Islamic Jihad, our nation right now, listen, our nation's in the throes of what one writer called the front edge of civil war in America. We're watching the consternation, the chaos, and the confusion on the school campuses, university campuses across our nation. Just look at the condition of our colleges today, universities. We find rioting, demonstrating, chaos, and confusion. A question, would you have ever believed, listen, I'm asking a question, would you have ever believed that we would see the confusion, the chaos that's taking place on our campuses today? What's causing it? What is taking place? Well, number one, you have the Marxist professors that have been teaching for the past 50 to 60 years. So we've got the brainwashed airheads that's coming out with philosophical PhDs. It's not worth the paper it's written on, but that's making the case more difficult as we see that taking place. The division in America is becoming very, very evident. Someone said recently that you don't have to wonder where people stand today because they'll tell you before you ask them. We're watching a serious chasm in America today, in the culture today, in our nation, as a result of what we're seeing taking place in the Middle East. I'm looking at an article that's by Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ law firm. It says thousands of jihadist rockets and Hamas militants are pouring into Israel, unleashing unthinkable devastation. Is this all-out war? That's the question that Jay Sekulow is asking. Innocent Israeli civilians are being murdered and taken hostage. These unprovoked attacks are war crimes being committed by Israeli enemies. Iran is funding it and supplying this coordinated attack and effort by the jihadists to attempt to eviscerate Israel. This is the deadliest and most devastating violent attack on our ally Israel since we have seen them become a nation. Unfortunately, we warned this was coming as Joe Biden has been undermining Israel and empowering the enemies. That's a profound statement, but I believe it's a correct statement. I believe we need to recognize what is taking place in that realm as a result of a weak presidency. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you can call in and correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was Ronald Reagan that said the strength of the president indicates the strength of the nation as it's seen in the eyes of the world. If we got a weak president, and we do, he's cognitively unable to do anything in leading our nation. As a result of that, we're watching the activities and the response from North Korea, China, Russia, Syria, Egypt, Iran, and other global players coming on the scene. But let me put this little footnote there. I believe that what we see happening today is the unfurling, the unveiling, the revealing of the eschatological prophetic text in the Word of God. This doesn't take God by surprise. This doesn't take God off, how would you say, his course. We find that what the Scripture has said for thousands of years are now leaping off the pages in our era, in our day, in our generation. We're seeing God bringing this to a full conclusion as he said that he would. Let me read one other brief statement. Then we'll take our first caller, and then I'll introduce our guest today. Israel irate over the UN chief's disgusting speech urges him to quit. I don't know if you heard it, watched it on the news. I don't know if you saw any reports of it, but the head of the United Nations just condemned Israel and it promoted the Islamic jihadist terrorist. This article reads, Israel condemned the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres for claiming that the Hamas terrorist attacked Israel did not occur in a vacuum. That's a quote. According to the multiple reports, Hamas kidnapped 200 civilians during the mass terrorist attack against Israel and killed over 1,400 civilians since October the 7th. Guterres appeared to suggest on Tuesday that the attack followed years of suffocating occupation. He's saying that Israel, giving them suffocating occupation, and subsequently called on a ceasefire from Israel, promoting calls for his resignation by Israeli officials, according to the Times of Israel. Quote, it's important to also recognize the attack by Hamas did not happen in a vacuum, Guterres said in the UN General Council meeting on Tuesday, according to the Times. The Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. The grievances of the Palestinian people cannot justify the appalling attack by Hamas, and those appalling attacks qualify, cannot justify the collective punishment on the Palestinian people. In other words, Guterres, the head of the United Nations, saying that it's Israel's fault that they've been slaughtered by the Hamas terrorists, and that is taking place because Israel has been occupying territory that belongs to the Palestinians, so therefore Hamas has the right to do that. Let me just set the record straight. There's no such ethnic group as Palestinians. No such ethnic group as Palestinians. They're Arab jihadists that have decided that they want to take more territory. Back in 2005, Israel pulled out all of their residents, pulled them out. Thousands and thousands of residents were pulled out of their kibbutz in Gaza in order to give full control to the so-called Palestinian Arabs. The very following year, 2006, they elected Hamas as their governmental representatives. And this is the end result of it. Now they're claiming that somehow, some way, it's because of being repressed by Israel. That is simply not the case. Every time since 1948, when Israel became a nation, every time there's a war against Israel, there's the demand for land. when in reality, the whole thing is that they're wanting all the land, not part of the land. They're wanting no Israel and all Islamic jihadist terrorists. That's the bottom line. And every time there's a battle in Israel, the hue and cry is, we need land, we need territory. And each time Israel surrenders land, surrenders territory, only to find 2, 3, 4, 5 years later that won't work. And the major problem is because so many hundreds of millions of dollars coming out of the coffers of U.S. taxpayers into the pockets of the jihadists in the Middle East. And that must cease. That must stop. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead and read the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Yes. You are straight on point. I think the United States need to get out of the U.N. They need to get out of this medical crap they got. I don't even want to call it what they call it. But every time, just like you said, I believe the third temple is going to be rebuilt because that spray rocket hit that hospital, and you got evidence of that. It's going to hit the Dome of the Rock, and then Israel could build their temple, and they're going
to
blame
them. I'm ready, and I look forward to any morning hearing the morning news by the socialist Marxist media that the Dome of the Rock's been wiped off the map. And as you've said, I believe that there's an aberrant off-course Scud missile coming out of Iran that one day will clean the temple and the Temple Mount, and the new temple will be rebuilt. Ezekiel chapter 40 through chapter 46 gives the exact 100% blueprints of the new temple. It shall be rebuilt. It will be utilized by the Lord Jesus Christ during the days of the thousand-year millennial reign, and I believe that that's going to take place pretty soon. The Temple Mount movement in Israel already has the temple garments made, the priest garments made, the utensils and the equipment and the furnishings already manufactured. They already have the full blueprints, and they say they can rebuild the temple in about 24 months. And so my mindset is, my timetable says that at any time the church could be raptured out and the Temple Mount cleaned, and as a result of that, the start of the new temple in Jerusalem. So I'm looking forward to what God is doing. It is all on his prophetic calendar. It's not taking him by surprise. It may take us by surprise. We may have to work through the, the cloud of what is taking place to ascertain what God's really doing. But I believe God is still in control. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. You're spot on with your analysis. Pardon?
Mr. Youngblood, can I ask you one more question?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. On Joe Biden, but it's not Joe Biden. When Benjamin Netanyahu came over here to talk to our president then, Barack Obama, he had him to go in the back door and had the Brother Muslimhood come in the front door. He spent about 30 minutes, but I think it was 30 minutes, because he was trying to tell them, do not give Iran nuclear power. And he spent like 30 minutes, I think. But the Muslim Brotherhood, he greeted them at the front door, sat with them for like, 3 or 4 hours?
Right. Well, I think what you're saying, Kenneth, and you're spot on with that. We have a weak president. Barack Hussein Obama is serving out his third term in absentia today because Joe Biden is the puppet that is being used by Barack Hussein Obama. And what you see is Obama that hates America, hates the Israeli people, and as a result of that, we're seeing a continual funding on the front side for the jihadists in the Middle East to destroy the nation of Israel. We need to keep looking up, lifting up our heads in the realization that our redemption is drawing near, according to Luke 20, chapter 21, verse 28. We're looking forward to it. Kenneth, thank you so much for your insight, for your call. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at a headline that says U.S. college has become the flashpoint for protesters on both sides of the Israeli-Hamas war. I'll read a brief statement, then I'm going to introduce our guest today. Demonstrators take part in the emergency rally, Stand with Palestinian Under Siege in Gaza. Amid the ongoing conflict between Israel and the Palestinian Islamic group, Hamas, at Harvard University, Cambridge University, et cetera, et cetera. We're looking at another portion of the article. At Columbia University on Thursday, two groups, hundreds of students, tensely faced each other in dueling protest and pro-Palestinian demonstrations while university officials blocked public access for the New York campus. Supporters of the Palestinians now are among many who wear face masks to hide their identities, held up signs in grassy areas in the library area, reading, "Free Palestine. The exit is to resist," et cetera, et cetera. Amid the growing conflict, tensions between students on opposite sides of the issue have boiled over on some U.S. college campuses. It's about a 5 or 6 page article. And the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, across America today, we're watching the spread of civil disobedience and civil disunity and division in America over the Hamas-Israeli war, which is now a Middle East war, and it is spreading like wildfire, if I can use that term. In my most humble opinion, we're watching the beginnings of World War III. Now, I've said that for about 2 years in the Ukrainian scenario. Let me tie up some loose ends. Russia and the battle with Ukraine, we're fighting a proxy war with Russia today on the grounds of Ukraine. We are going to see a proxy war between Iran and Russia and China being fought out in the Middle East, where America will be fighting the threefold enemy that we find in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which will be the major, major, major battle of all ages that's on the very horizon that will take place. And as a result of what we see happening, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching Jewish lives being put in danger, Christian lives being put in danger on a global basis. I'm reading a headline, "Knife-wielding attacker shouts Allah Akbar and kills teacher in French school amid Hamas-Israeli war," according to the reports. And I could go on with the article. But ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today a retired college professor. I think I'm right. A retired college professor, Derby Uyoa. Derby, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking time to be with us and sharing your thoughts on what we see taking place. Briefly, if you would, give us a little, what I would simply call a bio, you, your life, your background. I think that sets the stage to some of the things that you say, your position, your thoughts on what's happening in the Middle East.
Okay, thank you for the invitation. And let me start by saying what I have said before. I am not running for office, not looking for a job, and not selling anything. I'm just a well-informed citizen, a voter. I used to be informed like the average American, which is very poorly informed.
Right.
Now, thanks to the First Coast Tea Party, I am well-informed. I know my council, my senators, I know everybody. I have met them personally, and I have a right to like or dislike them because I know them. I was born in pre-communist Cuba, came over at age 15 after the Castro takeover in 1959. So I have been in this country since 1960. My parents thought that I could go back to Cuba a year or two later, but that didn't happen. So we stayed, and then we became American citizens. And I have seen this country change from great to not so great. Mm-hmm. I thought this country was almost perfect when I lived in Cuba, when I first came in 1960. But now I see that the U.S. government is almost as corrupt, if not more corrupt, than Cuba was in 1959.
Right on target. I've said that we're on the very verge of, and I've used the term Derby a number of times on this broadcast, on the very verge of becoming a socialist Marxist nation rather than a constitutional republic. I get a little upset when I hear some of the commentators and some of our legislators calling us a democracy. It's not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. Derby, take a moment and tell us your take, your view on what I call this explosive war in the Middle East. Who started the war? Why is it taking place? What is happening? And what do you see as the big picture? And then we'll narrow down some isolated thoughts.
Well, in my opinion, the animosity between Israel and the Arab countries, I guess, goes back to Muhammad in the 7th century. And they have been fighting each other forever, just like slavery. Slavery started when man came on earth, and we have had slaves of every race, creed, and social status from day one. So please don't talk to me about slavery or discrimination. That has happened many years ago, and it's happening now, not just against blacks, but against every group.
It has happened throughout the course of history. You find the Jewish people were enslaved for 430 years in Egypt, and I could go on from there. But somehow there's a mindset today that, in fact, I just discovered, and that perhaps you've heard it, the Robert Kennedy Jr. that's running as an independent ticket, he's just made it public that he believes in reparations, that America needs to go back and pay all people that had slave ancestors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I find that antithetical to anything that we be called wisdom at all. I did have a little modicum of interest in what he was saying and doing, just following his campaign. But it's all bets off now, if you want to use that term, when he brings that up, because I think it's antithetical to anything that would be called truth and what we need to do as Americans. But Derby, again, I'm delighted that you're here, and I'm thankful that we have this privilege to talk about what is happening. Tell me, from your vantage point, from your take on it, who are the Hamas fighters? Is it a military force? Are they an organized group? Are they just plain terrorists? Tell me your thought on
that. Well, I think they are organized terrorists.
Organized terrorists, yeah.
Funded by Iran and even, I would say, by the U.S. government. Didn't Hamas, who was Arafat? Wasn't he?
Palestinian Liberation Organization was Arafat. Palestinian Liberation Organization, it was called, still exists, but Hamas is a...
Didn't come out of...
Hamas is a part of that,
okay.
Which is simply puppet state, puppet organization of Iran.
And the U.S. was funding Arafat.
Yes, and we're still funding Hamas by giving millions of what's called humanitarian benefits into Gaza, which is being used by Hamas now to slaughter the citizens in Israel. I find it absolutely antithetical to anything that we should consider in talking about what is happening with Hamas and with the terrorists that's there. Knowing, now here's my take, we watch Joe Biden precisely say, we stand 100% with the nation of Israel. And at the same time, when going to Israel, his plans were to go into the back door, if you will, and talk with Hamas leaders and talk with the, what's his name, Abbas, that's the head of the Palestinian organization. I've forgotten his name, but he was going to talk with them and still promising each of them funding, but yet telling them that they need to stop the killing. That's a little antithetical to what I would call the proper way to handle what's taking place in the Middle East. Derby, one of the things that I look at is from a sky-high view, looking down on the scenario based on the scripture. And God's already told us there's going to be war in the Middle East. It doesn't surprise me. God's already told us in his word that every nation is going to come against the nation of Israel, which is a little postage stamp piece of property. And God's already told us the end result is that every nation that comes against Israel is going to be destroyed, wiped out. God's already told us that the nation that blesses Israel will be blessed. Any nation that curses Israel will be cursed. And so it is a little frightening when you think about where we are in America today, where there's a leaning toward the socialist Marxist agenda, which includes what is happening with Hamas and the terrorists there. So, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're going to take a few minutes of news in just a moment. We're talking with Derby today. We're talking about his view on what is happening in the Middle East, the Middle Eastern war, with Hamas terrorists taking place. We're talking about the truth about Islamic jihadists. What is the truth? How should we view it? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Standing tough amid calls for a more measured response to the brutal Hamas terror attack, Israel is once again vowing to destroy Hamas. In addition to sending more military gear to the Mideast, the Pentagon has put thousands of U.S. troops on notice for possible rapid deployment to the region. Louisiana's Mike Johnson, the Republicans' latest choice for Speaker of the House. We don't know if he has enough support to win the speakership in a vote by the full House, but we'll find out soon. The House to reconvene today at noon in D.C. Powerful Hurricane Otis has been pounding Mexico's Pacific coast. It came ashore with winds of 165 miles per hour. Otis now moving inland. The winds have weakened somewhat, down to 110 miles per hour. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is down 136 points, NASDAQ off 200. This is SRN News.
Do you have earned college credits but no diploma? Would you like to finish your certified degree program? Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE to schedule your interview appointment. Please leave your contact information for the admission staff to reach out to you. Today's the day. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We have our special guest today, Derby Ulloa. It's with us, and he's answering some questions that we have in relationship to what's happening in the Middle East, his take on it, his view. We invite your view, your call. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes direct through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, the battle has been for centuries. Let me just set the stage once again. About 4,000 years ago, you have two brothers, half-brothers, Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac was the promised son to Abraham and Sarah. They decided they would do things on their own. Ishmael was birthed. And as a result of that, there's been that battle for just under 4,000 years. My bride, by the way, is an expert on that as far as the timeline and the exactness of it. I just rounded out, called it about 4,000 years that the battle's been taking place between two brothers. So we're watching what the Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 16. It says that the progeny of Ishmael would be a wild man. His hand would be upon all and would be hated of all people. We're seeing God's word being fulfilled and coming to fruition. And it's sad to see, but at the same time, I've said several times of recent, it's an exciting era to live in when we are the recipients of, the beneficiaries of, seeing the eschatological truth of the Word of God coming to fruition. Derby, we had talked about just before the news break, we talked about what's happening in the Middle East, who started, why is it started, but and we'd ask the question about Hamas fighters. Are they fighters? Are they just protesters? In fact, I find it antithetical to anything that would be called proper news when the Associated Press put out a notice to all of the media that picks up on Associated Press not to call Hamas Islamic terrorists. What do you think about that? What do you say about that in relationship to it?
Well, it's concerning the college students. Colleges in the U.S. have become more and more liberal since I got here in 1960.
Yes.
It was a different place. Society is very different as well. People in general are more apathetic, complacent, ignorant, and more brainwashed.
That's right.
I used to be brainwashed by the Republican Party, thinking that they were all nice, conservative, Christian, you know, pro-American, pro-West, and they're no different from the Democrat Party.
They're drinking the same Kool-Aid, aren't they?
I don't trust them any more than I trust Barack Hussein Obama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I am very disappointed in the Republicans and even the local Republicans. They run for office acting so conservative. Once elected, they vote with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the use? I like to say that Republicans cheat, but they cheat against the grassroots candidates so that they can get elected as establishment Republicans and work with the Democrat Party. They're traitors.
Well, I find the same thing that's antithetical to truth. It is undermining what we need to be doing. In fact, when you talk about it on a local level, Ron Salem, which I believe is still president of the city council, isn't he?
Yes.
Ron Salem is the only one of the city council members that refused to stand for Israel in a recent vote for them to just pass a resolution. He refused to do so. He stands with the Hamas jihadist terrorist, and yet he says he is a conservative Republican. I find it antithetical to anything that would be called truth. One of the things, go ahead.
I'd like to say that Ron Salem, when I attend his inauguration speech, city council being installed, and he said he came from the Middle East, Palestinian area, I don't know, Lebanon, Syria, whatever, and he came as a young boy. He sides with the Palestinians, so to me, he's acting as a Palestinian, not as an American.
Mm-hmm.
He became a citizen, but in name only. His heart still in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a liberal. All of his goals that he outlined during his speech are let's help the poor, let's build a stadium, more public housing. He's not a conservative at all, but he gets elected.
Mm-hmm.
I like to bring out the issue of the recent mayoral election, how Al Ferraro didn't get the nomination. That is because the establishment, the Republicans, they had millions of dollars and they spent it on mailers trashing Al Ferraro's name.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the way you get elected. If you got a few million dollars and you tell lies about your opponent, you win the nomination. But Davis could not win the race for mayor because too many Republicans hated Don Davis. So we elected Donna Deegan. That is no good, but we taught the establishment a lesson. Are you listening, Dean Black?
That's right. That's the key to it. In fact, Al Ferraro, as you know, had been nominated and put even started in a position of heading the neighborhood committee, and yet was not able to do so. And it was Dean Black that pushed it with the other Republicans. In fact, according to one article I read, Dean Black had said to the Republicans, if you vote for Al Ferraro for that position, you'll not get any other position in the Republican Party. So it's a party priority and not a people priority from the standpoint of doing the work for we the people. This is what we find taking place on a national level. Tell me, since we're off the track with that briefly, they're talking about a Speaker of the House. Who's going to be the Speaker of the House? Will they be able to elect one today? They're talking about Mike, I've forgotten his last name, out of Louisiana, but he's got 30 or 40 votes short of being able to get it. But yet, John Rutherford, one of our representatives, said just this morning that he was going to be the one. Mike, I've forgotten his last name, out of Louisiana. What are your thoughts? Is it a legitimate problem? Have we ever seen this before in the history of America?
Well, I have no hope or no trust in what the Republican conference will do. They elected McCarthy, they elected Paul Ryan, John Boehner. So
they've got a bad track record.
They have a bad. And then I'd like to say, in defense of Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan, McCarthy and Rutherford say that Gaetz was a traitor because he used Democrats to get his way. Well, McCarthy has used Democrats to pass bills that had only minimal Republican support, but with about 20 or 30 Republicans and all the Democrats, he passed the bill. How come McCarthy can use Democrats for his goals, but not Matt Gaetz?
Mm-hmm.
So when we can, we use Democrats to benefit us, but not to benefit Democrats.
That's the whole point. We have a not only they're drinking the Kool-Aid, they're serving the Kool-Aid now. Derby, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Derby, I understand that America already has five or more warships in the Middle East. So my question is, why are they doing that? Are we entering into the Middle Eastern war?
Well, the U.S. government always says, we're sending troops as advisors, non-combat support. Well, you know, Vietnam was non-combat support in the beginning. So either we fight to win or we don't get involved, period. We have fought too many wars for nothing. And I'm tired of Americans dying for other countries. Americans should die to protect our southern border, not any other border anywhere in the world.
Yep. We're seeing the replay of what has taken place so many times. I'm looking at an article, George Papadopoulos, said this: the largest fleet of warships NATO has ever assembled is gathering now in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean Sea. In addition to the two U.S. strike groups and an amphibious assault force, several other warships from other NATO nations are now joining its ranks. This is not directly about Israel. This is not directly about the Palestinians. This is about stoking the flames of World War III in an election year, Papadopoulos says, as a distraction from every failure imaginable by the regime. Is that possible, that it's just simply a deflection from what is taking place leading up to the election? Or is it a true involvement? Are we intruding? Or is it the fact that we need to take a stand in protecting Israel? Israel is the only elected democracy, as they call it, in the Middle East. Israel can, I believe, win the battle by itself. But we're standing with them. And Derby, the thing that's so disconcerting with me is that we find in the scripture there's an admonition to stand with Israel, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to bless the nation of Israel, and God will bless us. But on the, just like with Barack Obama, Obama hated Israel, but yet on the front side, he said, we're standing with Israel. Do you see a replay of that?
Of course, anything Biden or Obama say, there is some hidden meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
They lie to your face, and then the media does not call them out on it.
That's right. They're never finding the fault there, but always finding the fault with Donald Trump, always finding the fault with a conservative Republican. In fact, I read an article this morning, I don't think I printed it out, that the reason Jim Jordan could not get the nomination to Speaker of the House is because of his stand with the facts that the 2020 election was fraudulent, with his stand of holding Trump's hands up to drain the swamp. And so he was too conservative, so therefore he could not get the votes. Do you believe that, or is that off the chart?
Well, I believe that most Republicans are afraid to say the 2020 election was stolen.
Right.
There was trouble, irregularities. Why can't they speak plain English? It was stolen. Telling me that in Georgia, we elected a white Republican governor twice, a male, and then we cannot elect a senator in the same state with the same voters.
Mm-hmm.
Herschel Walker. Yeah. If we can elect Kemp, we can elect Walker. But we didn't because there was cheating.
Cheating.
And then Kemp got elected by cheating his primary opponent.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we're witnessing what could be considered a major smokescreen, a major cloud to interfere with and help the Democrats steal the 2024 election.
They will.
And we've got between 7 and 8 million illegals that have come in. They like to call them undocumented workers.
Migrants. That's the word.
The migrants now. It's not illegal aliens. They're migrants that are coming in. Between 7 and 8 million. Do you believe that that will change the total dynamics of the 2024 election?
Of course. I wouldn't doubt it. Biden will get those migrants to become citizens and vote in record time so they could vote for him. Mm-hmm. And vote against Trump. But even if Trump gets more votes, they will cheat. So what's the use in voting for Trump unless we change the election system?
What is the best, you say change it, I'm in agreement with that. How's the best way to change our election system?
Well, we agree, one-day voting, no mail-in voting, no extended voting, photo ID, and make it difficult to vote instead of easy. The easier it is to cheat. And that's what has been happening for generations.
I believe we need to go back to the paper ballot. Paper ballot. I believe we need to get away from the electronic devices. I believe we need to go back to, as you said, one-day voting. I believe we need to go back. I believe we need to have voting. Election day needs to be a federal holiday so that everything is closed. Everybody can go vote without an excuse of having to get off and have it one day only. And back when we were doing that, the votes were counted by midnight. We knew who was elected. And now with the electronic devices, it takes 8, 10, 12 days and sometimes months to know who was elected.
But now too many Republicans, even Trump, is leaning to maybe we have to do a better job of vote harvesting or early voting. We need to do a better job in early voting. No, we don't need early voting. We need one-day voting paper, et cetera.
Absolutely. But what you see the Republicans doing is trying to play catch-up with what the Democrats have been doing for years, and that is trying to modify the election results at the outset before the election day. And that's what we see taking place today. I'm looking at an article, Derby. It says, Hamas terrorist leaders call for Muslim uprising everywhere. In the aftermath of the organization's decision to spark a regional war, which easily could turn into a much larger conflagration, Hamas leader now is calling for further uprisings across the world. What does that connote? What does that say to you? What are they calling for when they say that?
Well, they are inciting to war. They are inciting to riot against the American people,
mm-hmm.
our culture, our society. A country is defined by its border, language, and culture.
Yes.
A nation is defined by its borders, language, and culture. And these Palestinians or whoever they are, they don't believe in our borders, language, and culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have no southern border. They want to change the demographics. They want to change our culture, always catering to the minority, to the newcomer. When I came from Cuba in 1960, there was nothing in Spanish by the U.S. government. So I knew English or I didn't couldn't do anything. Of course, I knew English because I went to a good school in Cuba and all that. But now everything is bilingual. Why? If you don't learn English, you should not have any rights of any kind.
I second that completely.
And your family and friends should support you. Years ago, when you got a visa to come to the U.S., you had to say, I support myself, or I got a friend who's going to take care of me. But now they cross the border, and we give them things we don't give American citizens, things we don't give to the veterans. So that's so immoral that they are doing better than the Americans in need.
We are finding more given. In fact, I could be off on some of these numbers, but as I understand it, with the illegals coming in, they get a cell telephone prepaid. They get between $1,200 and $1,500. They get transportation for wherever they want to go in America. They're told to appear before the judge.
And they never do.
And they never do. And their court-appointed date is now up to 10 years from the date they enter America. Can you imagine? You cross illegally. You get taken care of for 10 years. And then you're supposed to go back before a judge. You believe that'll ever happen? No, it's not going to happen. That's all fake, fraud, phony, and it's designed to bring in as an open sieve our borders to destroy the demographics of America.
Well, I think that even Trump doesn't have the guts to conduct Operation Wetback again, as we did in 1954. Eisenhower said, illegal, out. No jury or no hearing before a judge. Just, you're illegal, you're out, period. That's... jobs are supposed to be for Americans, and Americans don't want to work in the fields, you know, in the agricultural jobs. Offer them more money, and they'll work.
Right. One of the problems we're finding today is the flood into America that's going to destroy the American economic system. And it, at one time, as you said, it was illegal. You're sent back. But today they're not sent back. They're being openly welcomed because they see voters for 2024 election. I'm looking at a headline. It's by Franklin Graham. It says the plan for Hamas is to kill every Jew and every Christian on the earth. And it goes into talking about what is taking place with Hamas as being the Islamic jihadist that has a goal of destroying every Jew and every Christian. Derby, FBI has warned of potential threats linked by the jihadist attacks. What are your thoughts about the possibility of another 9/11 style attack on America? Is that possible? Do you believe it will happen?
Anything is possible. But again, I do not believe anything the FBI says.
You too.
So, to me, they are the enemy. They're attacking the conservatives. And Attorney General is another communist. Before we run out of time, I'd like to bring a few points out.
Do that. Yes,
first,
go ahead.
Kudos to T.K. Waters.
Yes.
For standing behind his police officers who properly subdued a criminal that was resisting. I am tired of, if they resist, you have to be nice and all that. No, if they resist, you overpower them and arrest them, period. I don't think that Rutherford would have done that, or Mike Williams. But T.K. Waters said it in plain English. I am behind my officer,
yes.
Period. End of story.
Yes.
Also, I like
By
to...
By the way, I talked with a police officer just the other day. They were praising him for that very thing.
Yes.
The police officer in uniform says, he stands with us. He stands behind us.
Also, I'd like to bring the interview that you sent me, a link of Vince Everett Ellison,
yes,
interviewed by Tucker Carlson. It's a great interview that talks about the truth about 9/11, George Floyd. You know, the way the media portrayed the George Floyd incident was in a way 24/7 that even Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh said, what an atrocity. That should not happen. They were ill-informed.
That's right.
Although I love Savage and Rush Limbaugh, but they swallowed the Kool-Aid. And now we know that he didn't die of being abused by Officer Chauvin. He died because he had taken an overdose, period. And he was a criminal.
And he had fentanyl in his system.
Yeah, he didn't deserve any better. I am tired of the media saying, oh, this poor person died, he was shot. Well, that person was a criminal. I am glad he was shot. Out of the way. Mm-hmm. We are not punishing criminals. We let him out right away, and that's why they commit crimes.
That's right.
And okay. Politicians, they commit crimes. They are never punished. They are never held accountable for their policies, for their actions. And one more. I see in the news, watch TV, all you see is ads. Take your shot now. You might get this disease or this other disease, but if you take the shot that the pharmaceutical companies are promoting, then you'll be okay. They never say that people have died because of taking shots. So we have a complicit government with pharmaceutical to damage the American people.
Well, you got Bill Gates and you've got Klaus Schwab that both have agreed. In fact, it's not just those two, but that's the two prominent names that have said we need to reduce the global population by a billion people. In fact, it was Bill Gates that laughingly said that if we could get enough vaccinations, his words, get enough good vaccinations, we can reduce the globe's population. What is he saying? He's saying the vaccinations will kill you. In fact, broadcast from the pulpit on Sunday mornings was knocked off YouTube here a few weeks back because I made the public announcement in reading an article that it's been found to be true that 17 million people around the globe, 17 million have died as a result of the COVID jab, not a COVID vaccination. It's not a vaccination. And one of the things there, but that just came out, that in Israel, 2 years ago, the young lad that was 6 years old at the time was the television focused figure of saying that we need to give the vaccination to all of the kids. 6 years old. He just died at 8 years of age with a serious heart attack because of the vaccination. Of course, they'll never connect the dots and say that was it. And at the same time, we see now that shingles is one of the major side effects of the COVID vaccination. Now they're saying get your shingles vaccination.
Right.
It's a circle. But here's the good thing, Derby. The Pfizer pharmaceuticals, the Pfizer stock has plummeted. If I could use the term, the Pfizer stock is in the toilet. They have lost hundreds of billions of dollars because they've discovered so many things wrong with the vaccination material, that it was, polluted, that it was not sterile, that they were not making the vaccination. They're farming it out to India, to China, to Vietnam, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with no controls on the material that goes into the vials that's called the vaccination shot. And so as a result of that, many investors have dropped the ball. They've said, no, we do not want Pfizer, et cetera, et cetera. So it is my prayer that somehow, some way, all of this will come to fruition and the truth will be ultimately known. But the bottom line is, of all these things that we've talked about, it is the political worldview that everything's going to keep going. But I believe God's in control, that God is in the position of saying enough's enough. And I believe the next thing on the calendar of God, according to the scripture, is the snatching away of the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God is going to have that person that we call the Antichrist, the man of sin, that will step on the scene, rule and reign for 7 years, called the tribulation day. And the church, the bride of Christ, the Christian, will not be in the tribulation. That will be for the lost people that have never said yes to Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we watch what is taking place in Washington with the fiasco about a Speaker of the House, as we watch what is happening in the Middle East with the battle that is raging, and listen, that battle in the Middle East will spread, my most humble opinion, based on the authority of Scripture. We're seeing the promulgation, the beginning, the start of World War III. We're watching the start of what is called the war with Russia leading five nations against Israel, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. We're watching the beginning of what I think will be a preemptive strike from Israel against Iran. And Russia's already said if they strike Iran, Russia's going to strike Israel. So we're watching the chess players come on the scene. The stage is being set. The chessboard is being set. Derby, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm thankful
that we could discuss these very prominent issues and look at it from a central biblicist worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A